in sweatpants. I mean, when I was at Living Word, every week I wore a suit. So I got very comfortable here. It's like, okay. But this morning I want to speak of, we've been speaking through Thessalonians chapter 1, and we were talking about being an evangelistic church. And what that means is that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we share the gospel of Christ. Amen. So you might ask, what is the gospel of Christ? You ask all the right questions. So the gospel, it's explained right in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3-6. Let me just get there. And it says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he also was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Amen. And that he was seen of Cephas or Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present. But some have fallen asleep or are dead. Okay? So he died, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scripture, and he was seen by people who told other people. That's why we're here today. Because they told somebody, and somebody told them, and eventually somebody told me. Amen? And you ought to be telling somebody that Christ died for their sins. When John the Baptist seen Jesus Christ, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Amen? So we talked about this gospel, that we proclaim the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:2, we said, "But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Proclaiming this gospel ain't going to be easy. You're going to get some feedback. You're going to get some contention. You're going to get some pushback. But he says you got to be bold proclaiming the gospel, because this world don't want to hear. It's contrary to what the world says. This world says, now, live for me. The gospel said, no, live for others. Live like Christ lived. Lay down your life for others. Not only do it's not what we say, but it's how we live. Pastor Dave said last week, and we lost Sam. But Pastor Dave said last week in chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4 says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel or his body in sanctification and honor. Not only should you speak it, you should live it. Amen? You know how to possess your body. You know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing with the members of your body. But you choose to do what feels good to you. But he says, you all know what it's like. So this church at Thessalonica was concerned about the Lord's return. And what they thought, and what Paul and Peter, and what we should think, that the Lord's return was imminent, that it could happen any day. It could happen tonight, and it can. And they were concerned that what happened to those who died? Do they miss out on the Lord's return? And Paul's writing this letter to assure them and comfort them. No, they don't miss out. They don't miss out. One thing we all have to deal with is death. Amen? Listen, the death rate is still one per person. Amen? It is. Somebody's dying every day of the week. So they were concerned that these people that died would miss out on the return of the Lord. And Paul wanted to assure them, Paul wanted to comfort them with the scriptures. And this is what Paul says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which are asleep or dead in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. One thing is for sure, death will happen. Amen? It ain't a matter of when I go. It's a matter of whose I am when I go. If I'm in Christ or not. Amen? So that's why this gospel message is so urgent, and we can't sit on our butts not proclaiming it. Because death is certain to happen. All of us have lost a parent, a child, a friend, a sibling. All of us has experienced death in our family. So death is a part of life. So Paul is writing this, and he says in verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others with no hope. He said, listen, grieve if you must. Grieve because it hurts. It hurts when loved ones pass. It hurts. And you cry in your sorrow. But we don't sorrow and we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We got hope that if our loved ones and we are in Christ, we will see them again. Yes. Amen. Yes. That we will spend an eternity with them. So we sorrow, but we have joy and hope. Yes. That this ain't it. Right. This ain't it. That's what the heathen think. Yes. That this is it. That's why the scripture says, if there's no resurrection, we're men most miserable. Because we believe in a resurrected Christ. And we have hope. We have hope. Amen? We have hope. Listen, look at Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their work do follow them. Blessed are the dead in Christ. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Amen? Yeah. They rest from their labor. Because living this Christian life ain't easy. If you live in it. Now, if you living like the world, it could be easy. But I don't think that's even easy because this world has a way of beating you up. I've experienced it. That's why I'm so glad. I'm so glad he saved me. Amen. Amen. See, there's blessing in knowing Jesus. Look at John 11. This is the story when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And Martha is sticking her finger in Christ's face talking about, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, he'll raise again. And she said, I know he'll raise at the resurrection. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Listen, because we believe in Jesus Christ, we don't die spiritually. Amen. That's good news. That's comforting words. Yes. So Jesus tells them. That's why he told the woman at the well, if you drink from this fountain, that there's a spring of water, you'll never thirst again. Right. Because he's the only one that satisfies me. Money don't do it. The more I get, the more I spend. Money don't do it. Drugs and alcohol didn't do it. Educational pursuits don't do it. Only Jesus. He's my all. He's the best. My life in righteousness. Amen? So we all got to deal with death. We all got to deal with death. But Jesus has made us a promise. Look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Listen, when Christ comes, when he comes back for his church and with his church. Amen? So, let me just address the elephant in the room. So this passage right here talks about eschatology. And there's three dominant themes, and I know people on all sides of the spectrum that I respect on both sides of the issue. Amen? And because two of my heroes in the faith just passed recently, John MacArthur and Vody Bachum. John MacArthur, premillennial dispensation. Vody Bachum, amillennial reformer. But they both loved each other and worked with each other. And they didn't argue over this issue. They know that Christ is coming back. Amen? So there's gray areas in the scriptures that other people and other views. And you'll see my view as we go forward. Amen? But we don't argue about those issues. Amen? We know Christ is coming. And he's coming for his people. Amen? So he says he makes these promises to his believers. So he says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." So when it's all said and done, God is bringing his people to heaven. Amen? But look at the promise here in John 14, 1 to 3. Talking about people that died. Here's Jesus at his last week in his life, and he's letting his disciples know that he's going to die and go to the cross. And he's telling them, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." It was a troubling thing that they knew the one that they had left everything for. And just to give you a heads up, Jesus requires us to be willing to leave everything for him. His disciples left everything. What are you willing to give up? Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you must first deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. He left glory to come down and die for you and to die for me. So that's why Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and became obedient even to the death of the cross. So following Christ is going to cost you something. I like the songwriter. He says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" No. There's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. And it's about denying my lustful desires that's only catered to what I want and what I need or what I think I need. Only thing I need is more Jesus. Right. Amen? Right. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places or rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus makes this promise that we're going to be with him for all eternity. So let not your heart be troubled. Don't let death have a stronghold over you. Jesus took the sting out of death. Amen? He took the sting out of death. Look at 1 Corinthians. And I ain't going to be before you too long. It's demo day. Amen? I'm going to tear some stuff up. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. Behold, Paul says to the church of Corinthians, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we which shall be changed, for this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. O death, where is thy sting? O where is thy... As it is written, the death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He took the sting out of death. Death, listen, I don't fear dying. I ain't ready to go today. But when I know when God called my number, it's going to be all right. I ain't trying to rush it. And I ain't trying to hold on to this wicked world that I live in. It's all in God's hand. But I ain't fearing death. Because God has made me a promise that I will be with him. And I hold assured of that promise. And you ought to hold assured of that promise. When Christ raised from the dead, he took the sting out of death. That's why he says, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Paul says it in Romans 8:28 and 29, he says, and we know that all things work together to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, that we might be conformed to the image of his son, who is the firstborn among many brothers. He's the first one who raised from the dead. So because he raised, I too shall raise. Amen? Not only am I going to raise from the grave, I can raise above my circumstances. I can live in this world when everything is against me. I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Amen? I can live above my circumstances. It's that resurrected power. That's why he says, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. See, when life, because this life ain't easy. And this world is against us. So he says, he promised a perfect body. Look what he says in verses 2 Corinthians 5:1. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, talking about these bodies. When they, listen, some of you older might remember Sister Charlene White from Living Word. She used to have a saying, from the day we born, these bodies are bending back to the dirt. These bodies are bending back. They die. Why do you think you got to dust your house all the time? Huh? Right? These bodies are constantly being dissolved. He says if this body, this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen? See, these bodies ain't designed to live forever. Listen, and we can't see God with these bodies. You remember Moses? He talked to God through the burning bush. And Moses said, God, I just want to see you. He said, you can't look at me and live. He said, I tell you what I will do. He said, I'll hide you in the cliff of a rock. And I'll run past you and hide you and let you see my backside. And he just seen a glimpse of him going past. And the backside of him, whatever that meant. But he seen, and when Moses came back, his face shined so much as the sun, and his hair was all white, white as Pastor Dave. But it was so bright and so that the people say, Moses, you go up and talk to God. We'll stay down here. You come and tell us. But you couldn't see. These bodies ain't designed to see God. That's why we need a resurrected body. When Jesus came back from the grave, he had a resurrected body. It was recognizable, but it was different. It could walk through walls. It could ascend and descend. So we look for a day when we get a new body. Amen? That could see God face to face. That's why John writes this in 1 John 3:3, one of Pastor Dave's favorite scriptures in mine. 1 John chapter 3, verses, actually it's verses 2 and 3. I don't think I gave Mark the right. Okay. Actually, I really want to start verse 1. Should have gave him 1 to 3, but that's all right. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knew us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he comes back, we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen? We're going to be transformed. Like this building here, take a good look. Take some pictures because this is the last time you're going to see it the way it is now. Amen? Because we're going to, Don said he needs you to work today like that too. In the twinkling of an eye. He needs you to do some work quick. Amen? But this is the last. He's going to do a transformation with these bodies. When we see him, he's going to change. I always say, listen, some of us, he's got to do a lot of work in that twinkling of an eye. That scripture at the end says, those who have their hope purify themselves. God is requiring us and asking us to do some work within us. He doesn't force us to work. He wants us to start purifying ourselves. So you ought to be a little more loving than you were last year. You ought to be a little more forgiving than you were last year. you ought to be a little more patient, a little more long suffering. Amen? Because we're going to be changed. The whole purpose of God saving you is to transform you. So we look for the day when we have this resurrected body. That's our hope. That's our hope. And then we come to process. And we're at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, till the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Okay? So when Christ comes, he's coming back. So, shall not prevent those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he's saying when Christ comes back, the dead in Christ is going to rise. The dead in Christ is going to rise. And we that remain will be caught up, will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Will be caught up. This is what they call that word, caught, that phrase, caught up. This is where they get the word rapture. Now, here it is. Here it is. Amillennials, don't say that there's no rapture, that it all happens at once, right? So, and that's fine. If you find yourself caught up in one, you know that's fine. In a premillennial, if you find yourself just going to heaven and there's no rapture, then there's no rapture. No big fear. We know the process. But this is where they get the rapture portion of it right here. And this is where premillennials would hold on to that. So that we would be caught up with God to meet him in the air and be forever. But the point here he's trying to make is that the dead that die in the Lord don't miss out. They don't miss out. That's the point. When God comes back for his church, whether he comes back all at once or he takes, and this is the dispensational and premillennial's position, is that he takes the church out and then tribulation. Then there's this millennial thousand reigns of a thousand years of peace. And then he comes back with his saints to fight this battle and then the new heaven and the new earth. But we ain't got time to go into all that. I'm just telling you the position. But here's the piece that we need to be sure of, that when God comes back for his people, he's coming back for his people. Yeah. Amen? And he will call them out of the grave like he did Lazarus. Yeah. Amen? You remember when he called Lazarus, he had to call Lazarus by name. Yep. Amen? Because if he just said, come on out, everybody in the grave would have got up. Yeah. Amen? So I don't know if he's just going to call my name, then your name, or he's just going to say, children, come on home. Yes. Amen? Yeah. And all the dead is going to rise. He's going to call his people to himself. And I know he's faithful to that promise. Yes. And that's where I hold my hat. Yes. that he's faithful to that promise. That if you put your faith in him, then you don't have to face death, spiritual death. Amen? Yes. And not only that, there's comfort in that, that he's coming back for him. That death has no sting, that the grave has no victory on us. So if I'm not afraid to die, I'm not afraid. What can this world do to me? Huh? You can take all my money. You can take all my possessions, but I got a home in heaven. Amen? Where the streets are made of gold. Where I'm going to be an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Yes. That's my hope. Not my investments, not my 401k or my state retirement, which may be going down to nothing soon. Not my Social Security. My hope is in Christ. Yes. And that one day I'll be with him. Either as raptured or as he called the whole, his family at once. Either way, I'm going to be with him. So the only comfort I have for you, that if you believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins. That he who knew no sin became sin for you. Then you have hope beyond the grave. And if you don't have that hope, then you live like the world. And so you might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And that's a sad existence. Because I've never been rich, but I had a few dollars, and I had times where I had no dollars. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor have I ever had to beg for bread. I don't care how foolish I was out in those streets. I always had a place to go and get something to eat. Thank God for a believing mother. Amen. So we have hope. We have hope. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. We have resurrected hope. We have the resurrected hope that Christ, that because we're in Christ, we can live above our circumstances. And because when we die, we know he's coming back for us. Amen? And we don't know the hour or the time. And we ought to act like it could happen today, because it could. It could happen while we're trying to transform this building. It could happen right here as I'm preaching this word. And that's the urgency of it. So you ought to be telling everybody you know, come see a man that told me everything I ever did, who showed me my own heart and how foul it was and how defiling I am. See, when he talked to the woman at the well, he didn't condemn her. But he showed her herself and everything she ever did. And when she left him, she came there looking for water. But she ran leaving her water pots. I don't know how far the town was back to Samaria, but it was a ways. And she ran all the way back to town with some excitement that she never had in all of her life. And every person she said, she seen, come see a man. Come see a man that told me everything I ever done. I can imagine physically she was parched. Amen. But her excitement, something built up within her. That satisfied her because now she had the living Christ inside of her. And that's what satisfied. That's what's worth living. That's what's worth life. That's life eternal. To know him. To know Jesus. The only hope. So, I thank you for your time. I pray that you would proclaim his gospel with a sense of urgency because no man know the hour or the time when he come or the process and by which he might come. Amen? But you ought to act with urgency because life's at stake. Amen? We have loved ones' lives who are at stake. We have co-workers. We have neighbors who might face an eternal damnation because you refuse to open your mouth. Amen?